Welcome back to The Deep Dive, the show where we take a stack of research and we boil it all down, giving you the key takeaways. And today, we are diving deep into the world of DuckDB.
MuckDB!
It's been, making some noise recently in the data world. It's a modern open source SQL database. And it really is made for analytics.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that makes it very unique is that it is in process, meaning it can run directly inside of your applications.
Yeah. We're talking about a database that is purpose-built for analytical workloads.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing business intelligence, data science, if you're trying to make sense of large amounts of data,
yep.
This is a database that has you in mind. And the really kind of neat thing about it is that it's in process. So you don't need a separate server. It runs right inside your Python code or your R code.
Right. And you'll hear it a lot of times described as SQLite, you know, for analytics.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are familiar with SQLite, that sort of very lightweight, embeddable database.
Right.
It shares that same ease of integration, but it's specifically designed for number crunching and doing analytical queries on data.
Absolutely.
Really, really quickly.
It's really a fascinating database and kind of a compelling story behind it. It was created by Hannes Mielissen and Mark Rosfeld.
Okay.
And it was initially released back in 2019. And the idea was, like, how can we make it easier for people to do analytics without having to go through all this pain of setting up databases just to do analytical work?
Right, yeah. All the headaches of getting things set up and configured.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So imagine, like, you're in Python, and you just embed this right in your Python script. You can run analytical SQL queries against your data with no server configuration, nothing. Mm-hmm. It just works.
So it's like instant analytical superpowers.
Yeah, pretty much.
So today in this deep dive, we want to really kind of dig into DuckDB. We want to look at the architecture, what makes it tick, the performance characteristics. How does it compare to other tools that you might already be using, like SQLit, PostgreSQL, Pandas, Polars, even Spark? We want to look at the best use cases for it. Why is it becoming so popular?
Mm-hmm.
And we want to look at the ecosystem. What are some of the extensions? What are the UDFs? And of course, every piece of technology has its limitations.
Right.
So we want to look at that as well. So this should be a shortcut to you understanding this very powerful tool.
Yeah, I think it'll give you a really good overview of what DuckDB is and when you should use it.
So let's dive into the architecture a little bit. You mentioned it's columnar and that it's in process. Mm-hmm. What does that actually mean for someone working with data? What are the benefits of those things?
Yeah, so being in process is really a game changer when it comes to speed. So if you're in, say, a Python environment,
mm-hmm.
and you execute a DuckDB query,
yep.
The database engine actually runs in the same memory space as your Python interpreter. So the data doesn't have to go over network connection like it would in a traditional client server system. And that drastically cuts down on the overhead. So it allows for really rapid data exchange between DuckDB and your application. So, you know, converting query results to a Pandas data frame happens almost instantaneously.
Yeah, it's very streamlined.
Yeah.
Now, columnar storage, that's different from row-based, which I think a lot of people might be familiar with. How does that work?
Yeah, so in a row-based database, all the data for a single record is stored together on disk.
Okay.
But with columnar storage, like DuckDB, all the values for a specific column are stored together.
Gotcha.
And so when you're running an analytical query where you often are aggregating or calculating over entire columns, this is a huge advantage because it only needs to read the specific columns relevant to your query, so it cuts down on the disk I/O and keeps the data very tightly packed in memory.
So instead of reading the entire row when I only need a couple of columns,
exactly.
It just grabs the data that I need.
Exactly.
That makes perfect sense.
And this columnar layout really enables DuckDB to do vectorized query execution. So instead of processing, you know, one record at a time,
right.
It processes these large batches of values, what are called vectors,
okay.
All at once. So it can keep these computations happening in your CPU's cache and really cut down on the overhead of making function calls for every single row.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a technique that's it's based on a lot of database research that happened, you know, in projects like MonaDB X100, really kind of pioneering work in databases. And this is one of the main reasons why DuckDB is so fast at analytical tasks.
It's like instead of looking at every single ingredient in a recipe, you're just looking at all the flour and then you're looking at all the sugar and so on and so forth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then to further increase the performance, DuckDB uses what's called morsel-driven parallelism. So what that means is it can take a single query and break it down into these smaller independent units of work, yep. these morsels, and then it can distribute those morsels across all the available cores on your machine. So if you've got, you know, a complex query with lots of joins, lots of aggregations, DuckDB can take advantage of all that compute power and really reduce the execution time of that query.
So it's not just hitting one core, it's using all of the power that's available on the machine.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, one thing that I think is interesting is that even though it is optimized for analytics, it is ACID compliant. And ACID compliance is something that you usually see in transactional databases.
Yeah, that's a really important point. So even though it's made for analytical workloads, it does give you ACID guarantees, and it does support transactional updates.
Okay.
And it does that through multi-version concurrency control, MVCC. So that's kind of like keeping snapshots of your data. So multiple queries can read the data at the same time without interfering with each other. But, you know, you're still only allowed to have one transaction writing to the database at any given time to make sure the data stays consistent.
So you have that safety even though you're doing these big analytical, you know, operations.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. What about storage? You know, with SQLite, it's a single file. Is it the same with DuckDB?
Yeah, so by default, if you say in a DuckDB database two disk, it is stored in a single file with a .DuckDB extension.
Oh.
Very similar to SQLite with .DB
yeah.
Extension. But it can also operate entirely in memory.
Oh.
And in fact, a lot of people use it kind of ephemerally.
Mm-hmm.
They don't actually create a database file. They just use DuckDB to query data directly from external files like Parquet, CSV, even in-memory data structures like Pandas data frames.
Right. So it's like a direct pipeline
exact
to data that I already have, like, regardless of the format.
Yeah.
And I don't even have to go through a separate process to bring it in.
Yeah, it's very convenient.
Yeah.
And this this no ETL needed approach is really, really useful, especially for exploratory data analysis.
Yeah.
So you can actually treat your data lake files as if they were database tables.
Yeah.
So you can do something like select star from, and then the name of your Parquet file, and it'll just query that Parquet file directly.
Right.
And because DuckDB understands these columnar formats like Parquet, it can do things like just scan the columns that are necessary. It can push down filters from your SQL query into the file reading process. And that can often lead to, you know, much better performance than writing custom scripts to process those files.
Yeah, very efficient.
Yeah.
And user-friendly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we talked a little bit about the performance earlier. You said it could be significantly faster than traditional row-based databases. Why is that speed difference so big?
Yeah, so for analytical queries, you know, that involve large scans, aggregations, joins, analytical functions, DuckDB is very, very heavily optimized.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've seen comparisons where it's, you know, maybe an order of magnitude or even 40 times faster than, say, PostgreSQL on a specific aggregation query. Now, it's important to note that, you know, these are two different tools designed for different purposes.
Right.
So PostgreSQL is a very, very robust general-purpose relational database management system,
mm-hmm.
whereas DuckDB is specifically designed for analytical queries.
So it's not apples to apples.
Exactly.
But it highlights where DuckDB excels.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the reason, you know, the speed difference is so big is because of the underlying architecture. So row-based systems like PostgreSQL, they process data row by row, which introduces a certain amount of overhead for each individual record.
Right.
Whereas DuckDB, it processes data in these large batches, these vectors of column values. And it does that in these very highly optimized loops that are very friendly to your CPU cache, which cuts down on that per row processing overhead.
Mm.
And what's also really remarkable is that, you know, for moderately sized data sets, DuckDB can often rival the performance of specialized analytical databases, even distributed query engines, because by keeping that processing local, you avoid all that network communication and data serialization that's inherent to a distributed system.
So you're bringing that data warehouse grade query processing right to your local machine.
Exactly.
And it's all contained in a single, very compact C++ library.
Absolutely. It's less than 10 megabytes, no server to manage, no complex configuration. So it's really a game changer for people who need to do analytical SQL quickly without, you know, all the traditional burdens of setting up a database.
Right. Now let's get into some direct comparisons, and we'll start with the, you know, the SQLite for analytics idea.
Yeah.
So how do SQLite and DuckDB, these lightweight embeddable databases, how do they actually compare when you put them head to head?
Yeah, so they're both embeddable and lightweight, which makes them really easy to integrate into applications.
Right.
But their design goals are very different. So Skrilite is designed for what's called online transaction processing, or OLTP.
Okay.
So these are those small, frequent transactions, lots of inserts, quick lookups,
Yep.
the kinds of things you see in like mobile apps, local application storage, that kind of thing. Whereas DuckDB is really focused on online analytical processing, or OLAP.
I
So
don't know.
these are those heavy read queries where you're analyzing large volumes of data to extract insights.
So fundamentally different engines
Exactly.
optimized for different kinds of workloads.
Exactly, yeah. So SQLite, it stores data row by row on disk, and it uses a traditional query engine that processes one row at a time.
Okay.
And it really excels at targeted select and update operations based on primary keys or indexes.
Okay.
But DuckDB, with its columnar storage and vectorized execution, it processes many values together.
Right.
And that makes it much, much faster when you're scanning large tables, aggregating millions of rows, or performing complex joins and computations across the data set. And another key difference is parallelism. So DuckDB is designed from the ground up to leverage all those cores on your machine for a single query. So it really maximizes that hardware potential for analytical tasks. SQLite, on the other hand, operates mostly within a single thread.
So it's not using all of the horsepower
Right,
that's
yeah.
available. Yeah. Okay. Now, if you have multiple parts of the application, multiple users trying to access the database at the same time,
Right.
what happens there?
Yeah, so that's concurrency. And this is a key consideration for both of these systems,
Yeah.
because as embedded databases, they both have limitations compared to like a client server RDBMS.
Right.
So SQLite allows multiple readers to access the database concurrently, but it essentially only allows one writer at a time.
Okay.
And it manages that through file-level locking. DuckDB is similar, generally intended to be used by a single process or a single user,
Okay.
or maybe a single thread that's doing the writing.
Gotcha.
For read-heavy analytical workloads, both of them can handle multiple simultaneous queries pretty well,
Okay.
but neither of them is really made for the kind of high concurrency scenarios that you see in a busy web application backed by a client server database.
Right.
But if you're just doing, local analytical work,
Yeah.
it's probably not going to be a huge issue.
So for my little analysis project, I don't need to worry too much about it.
Yeah, probably not.
But if I'm building like a web app, I might need to consider something else.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So if we look at the kind of the use cases and the limitations, SQLite, it really shines in its niche. It's ultra portable. It's incredibly reliable for local data storage. It powers, a huge number of applications.
Yeah.
But it struggles when you try and run these large analytical queries against it. It can do it, but it's slow. And you could run into memory issues if you have a really, really large data set.
Okay.
Whereas DuckDB is designed to handle billions of rows on a single machine,
Yeah.
assuming you have the disk space, you have the RAM,
Right.
it can even spill to disk if it needs to for very large queries.
Okay.
And that columnar storage and compression really helps it manage these large data sets more efficiently than SQLite can.
Can you give me like an example that illustrates the difference? Like, what's a common task that would really highlight those differences?
Yeah, absolutely. So imagine you have, say, like a 10 million row log file,
Okay.
and you need to calculate some aggregate statistics from it, maybe like the average response time per user.
Okay.
So with SQLite, you would typically import that data into a SQLite database first.
Gotcha.
And that could take a little while. And then when you run your query, it's going to process that data row by row.
Okay.
But with DuckDB, you could just point a SQL query directly at that CSV file or that Parquet file that has those logs in it.
Right.
And it would use all the cores on your machine, it would use that columnar engine, and it would probably complete that aggregation much, much faster. And there's a lot less setup involved as well.
Right.
Now, on the other hand, if you had, say, like a small configuration database with maybe, just a few thousand records in it,
Okay.
and that was being updated very, very frequently by multiple parts of your application,
Gotcha.
Then SQLite would be a much better fit in that case because it's really focused on transactional integrity and has a lower overhead for these small, frequent operations.
Yeah, so it really depends on what you're trying to do.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting is that these systems can even work together. So DuckDB actually has a SQLite scanner extension that allows it to query data directly from existing SQLite database files.
Okay.
So you could have, you know, SQLite managing your transactional data.
Right.
And then you could use DuckDB to run these really heavy analytical queries against that data without having to export or migrate anything.
So they're not necessarily, you know, replacements.
Exactly.
They can actually complement each other.
Yeah, absolutely. They often complement each other.
Yeah.
And that's really the key takeaway, I think, is that if you need something that's small, transactional, embedded, you know, use SQLite.
Yeah.
If you need something that can analyze these larger data sets quickly and efficiently, use DuckDB.
And they both have that easy to use embed thing.
Exactly.
But then DuckDB steps in. It's like, okay, now we need to, you know,
right.
do some real horsepower stuff.
Exactly. And you're not giving up that ease of use.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you can think of it as data warehouse level analytical capability.
Okay.
But in a package that feels just as approachable as SQLite.
Okay, so now let's shift gears a little bit.
Yeah.
And let's talk about PostgreSQL, which is another, you know, very, very popular and powerful database.
Right.
So how does DuckDB compare to that?
Yeah, this is where the comparison really becomes about, you know, different tools for different purposes.
Yeah.
So PostgreSQL is a client-server, row-oriented, general-purpose relational database management system.
Right.
DuckDB, as we know, is embedded column-oriented,
yeah.
specifically designed for analytics.
Right.
And their architectures are very different. Mm-hmm. So in PostgreSQL, you've got a separate database server that's running.
Yeah.
And applications connect to it over a network.
Yeah.
DuckDB is a library that you link into or import into your application process.
Right.
And PostgreSQL, you know, it manages data in terms of these disk pages, and it relies on a buffer cache in memory, whereas DuckDB uses memory-mapped files or in-memory buffers
mm-hmm.
And leverages that columnar data layout that we talked about earlier.
So Postgres is a full-blown, you know, separate yeah. server. It's made for, you know,
yeah.
multiple users, complex deployments, whereas DuckDB, it's, you know, you just kind of bring it in.
Yeah, exactly.
It's part of your application.
Yeah, you can think of it as, you know, this specialized analytical engine that lives within your application.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Now, how does that architectural difference play out in terms of performance, especially for analytics?
Yeah, so for OBLAT AP workloads, DuckDB's vectorized execution engine
yeah.
can achieve much, much higher performance than PostgreSQL.
Okay.
And, you know, in some of those large aggregation queries that we talked about earlier, we saw that it was maybe like 40 times faster than PostgreSQL.
Wow.
And the main driver for this is, again, you know, Postgres's row-by-row processing model.
Right.
It introduces overhead for each individual tuple that it handles. Whereas DuckDB is processing data in these large batches of column values,
yeah.
And it avoids that per row overhead.
Right.
And it can also take advantage of a lot of CPU level optimizations for analytical scans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, newer versions of PostgreSQL, they have introduced parallel query execution.
Yeah.
But it's generally not as aggressive,
yeah.
And it's not as inherently suited for these large full table scans.
Right.
You know, like DuckDB's built-in parallelism is.
Okay. So if I have, you know, analytics that I'm doing and I need to scan a lot of data.
Right.
DuckDB is probably going to be faster.
Yeah, much faster.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What about things like, you know, indexing data for faster lookups?
Right.
And then also, you know, making modifications to the data.
Yeah, so PostgreSQL has a really rich set of indexing mechanisms mm-hmm. like dtrees, which are really optimized for fast lookups and transactional updates.
Right.
DuckDB in its current form doesn't expose user-defined indexes.
Mm-hmm.
So it relies mostly on full table scans or these internal min-max statistics that it keeps for query optimization.
Okay.
And for analytical workloads, you know, where you're scanning a lot of data, mm-hmm. that's generally okay.
Right.
It's often faster because yeah. of that columnar layout.
Okay.
But if you frequently need to select, say, like a single row based on a unique identifier, you know, from a very, very large table,
yeah.
PostgreSQL with the right index would be much faster.
Gotcha.
And then for data modifications, DuckDB does support updates and deletes within transactions,
yeah.
but it's not designed for high volume transactional updates.
Okay.
So PostgreSQL, with its write ahead logging, WAL, for durability and all its really robust locking mechanisms,
right.
it's much better equipped to handle concurrent inserts and updates from lots and lots of clients.
So if I'm doing an analytical pipeline and I need to make some changes to, you know, some staging tables or something.
Right.
DuckDB is probably fine.
DuckDB is fine, yeah.
But if I need, you know, lots of updates coming in from,
you know, multiple users.
Yeah.
It's probably not a good fit.
Probably not the best fit.
Yeah. What about just dealing with, you know, tons of users or really, really massive data sets like, you know, petabytes and petabytes of data?
Right. So PostgreSQL, it's made to handle, you know, a very large number of concurrent connections and queries.
Yeah.
Although its performance on these very, very large analytical queries can degrade if you don't have enough memory or tuning.
Okay.
It does offer, you know, various mechanisms for horizontal scaling, like sharding, tools like Citus to kind of distribute data and workload across multiple servers.
Right.
DuckDB is mostly for single user or embedded scenarios.
Okay.
Typically one application thread is interacting with it.
Gotcha.
It can process data sets that are larger than available RAM by spilling to disk, but it's really a scale-up solution. So it leverages the resources of a single very powerful machine.
Right.
But it doesn't have built-in features for distributing workloads across a cluster of machines. Gotcha. So if I have that truly massive distributed data set,
yeah,
I still need to, you know, go to Spark or something like
that. Yeah, Spark or, you know, one of the other distributed database systems.
Yeah. So when would I typically choose one over the other for my dataware?
So I would say, you know, PostgreSQL is your go-to for any kind of production grade system.
Right.
Where you need to support a lot of users, lots of updates. You need strong data integrity, reliability, and you want to take advantage of, you know, that very expensive feature set and ecosystem.
Right.
It can do analytics, but for really, really heavy analytics, you might want to consider something else.
Right.
DuckDB is great when you need to embed analytical capabilities directly into an application.
Okay.
Or a workflow.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in those single user environments. So, you know, if you find yourself exporting data from PostgreSQL to analyze it in Python or R, DuckDB is a much more efficient option. You can either query those exported Parquet files, or you could potentially use a PostgreSQL scanner extension if one is available.
Right.
And it really shines for ad hoc data exploration, data science experiments, adding analytical features to, you know, a desktop or single user application.
Gotcha.
But it's definitely not a replacement for PostgreSQL in those multi-user transactional systems. So think of it this way. PostgreSQL, it's the versatile client-server workhorse. But DuckDB is this, you know, highly tuned embedded engine for super fast analytics.
Yeah. So they can also be used together, right?
Yeah.
You can have Postgres for your, you know, main data.
Yeah.
And then do the batch analytics.
Absolutely.
Using DuckDB.
Yeah. So you can imagine a system where PostgreSQL is managing all the operational data, but you use DuckDB to perform batch analytics on that data.
Right. Yeah. And it seems like DuckDB, it really created this new niche.
Yeah, it has.
For in-process OLAP, right?
Yeah.
Because before that, if you wanted to do open source OLAP, it was all server-based like ClickHouse and things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So now let's move into the Python data science world.
Yeah.
And let's compare it to Pandas, which is kind of like the, you know, the first tool that data scientists often reach for.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the go-to tool for a lot of people.
So how does DuckDB stack up to that?
Yeah, so Pandas is a really fantastic data manipulation library, but it's not a database.
Right.
Whereas DuckDB is, even though it can run in memory.
Okay.
And so the biggest difference is really how they handle data volume. Mm-hmm. So Pandas primarily works with data sets that fit entirely in memory. So it uses these data frames, which are backed by NumPy arrays.
Okay.
Whereas DuckDB can work with in-memory data, but it can also query data directly from disk, like large Parquet files, and it can stream the results.
Right.
So it can handle data sets that are much, much larger than your available RAM.
Okay. So DuckDB can handle these huge data sets that would choke Pandas.
Exactly. If you try to open, you know, a multi-gigabyte CSV file with Pandas, it'll probably just crash.
Right.
DuckDB, you know, not a problem.
Yeah.
And so when we look at performance and, you know, kind of how these things scale with data size, Pandas is mostly single-threaded in terms of its operations, whereas DuckDB is designed to use all the cores that are available to you.
Right.
And so, you know, for large data sets and computationally intensive tasks, that difference in parallelism really, really matters.
Yeah.
And we've seen benchmarks where, you know, for common operations like group buys, aggregations on a large data set, Pandas can be, you know, an order of magnitude slower than DuckDB.
Wow.
And it often runs out of memory completely.
Okay.
And even on smaller data sets, DuckDB, because it's written in C++, it's highly optimized. It can outperform Pandas, especially for these complex queries that involve multiple joins or groupings. So for you, that means you get faster analysis, and you can work with these larger data sets without having to resort to, you know, distributed computing.
Now, Pandas has that really, really intuitive Pythonic API that data scientists are very familiar with.
Yeah.
What about the user experience there?
Yeah, so Pandas has this really convenient and expressive programmatic API, which is great for interactive data exploration on these smaller data sets.
Okay.
DuckDB mostly uses SQL, which might be more familiar to people who come from a database background.
Right.
And SQL can be more concise and powerful for expressing these complex transformations like joins, aggregations, window functions.
Right.
You know, in Pandas, you might need to chain together several operations to achieve the same result.
Right.
But DuckDB does offer really excellent Python integration. So you can easily run SQL queries and then get the results back as Pandas data frames.
Okay.
Or you can use DuckDB's relational API, which feels very much like a data frame.
Okay.
And then convert those results to other formats, you know, like Polar's data frames, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Right.
So it really comes down to, how do you prefer to think about data manipulation? Do you like that declarative nature of SQL?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you like the imperative style of, you know, data frame operations?
Right. So it seems like they can also be used together, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can be very complementary.
Okay.
So you can easily take a Pandas data frame and register it as a table in DuckDB.
Okay.
And leverage that SQL capability.
Right.
Or you could use DuckDB to query and filter, you know, a very large data set on disk.
Yep.
And then pull a smaller, more manageable subset of that data into Pandas.
Right.
To do further analysis, to do visualizations.